recent caravan is not going so hot. We're going to talk about it on today's Hot Zone.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hi folks, Chuck Holton here. Welcome to another episode of the Hot Zone podcast. Thanks for liking and sharing it with your friends. We're growing, and that's good. We're going to talk more about migration since I just came back from Mexico and was right there on the border with Guatemala. Watched that new caravan that they're talking about come up from Honduras. And I just want to talk about it for a second. First of all, you got to remember that the vast, vast majority of these caravanners are economic migrants. They're moving for economic reasons. You just have to ask them. They'll tell you, I'm going to the United States because I want a better job. There's no jobs in Honduras. Now, that's not an asylum claim. You cannot qualify for asylum in the United States that way. And so you're either going to have to try to sneak in past the Border Patrol, not get caught, and then live in fear while you try to get a job under the table for cash, which again drives down wages in the United States. It takes away from the tax base. It drains resources. That's not a good thing for the United States to do that. And aside from the fact that I think people ought to be able to live where they want to live and that governments make it too hard for people to go where they want to go, but that's the law right now. So they have to, if they're going to make it into the United States, not only do they have to break the law in the United States, but they have to break the law in Mexico, because now Mexico is telling them that they have to register for asylum in Mexico when they come across, and they cannot leave the area of Chiapas, actually Tapachula, where most of them come across, and they have to stay there until they either get qualified for asylum in Mexico or some other kind of visa that would allow them to stay. And while they're there, they have to, you know, sign in every couple of weeks. I'm going to show you more about that from my friend Todd Bensman in a minute. An update on the migrant caravan on the last podcast, you saw as they were coming across into Mexico illegally.
Look, the government made an offer, and we explained that to the people, to cross by groups, women and children first. But they want to cross by 50 and more because they are afraid, since social media are saying that they are deporting them.
Mexican authorities, the National Guard and the police, have been stopping them from coming across the bridge, and so they just walk across the river into Mexico illegally. But that doesn't mean that the Mexican authorities are throwing up their hands like they were a year ago. Now they've brought in more troops, and they just catch them at checkpoints along the roads.
This checkpoint just north of the Guatemalan border in Chiapas state shows that the Mexican police and military are working together to try to find these migrants that are trying to still sneak through here, even though they know things are getting more difficult at the northern border. And right here, they're searching a vehicle. They just pulled a couple of Guatemalans off of one of these vehicles a few moments ago, and they're here illegally, so they're gonna get deported back to Guatemala in the morning.
So they caught a large majority of the migrants today after they had walked for many, many miles into Mexico. The National Guard showed up and hauled them onto buses and deported them. They're going to take them back and dump them back in Guatemala and say, sayonara, you can't stay here. So the migrants at this point really have one of two choices. They can try to pay a smuggler massive amounts of money to get them into the United States past the Mexican authorities and the U.S. authorities, or they can apply for asylum in Mexico. Or I guess they can turn around and go back home. But suffice it to say, that is their choice right now. And I just want to show you a quick snippet of a report that my friend Todd Bensman from the Center for Immigration Studies put together from the trip that he and I were just on. So check it out.
This is Mexico's main detention center in Tapachula, the border capital of Mexico's southernmost state lining Guatemala. What you're seeing here are migrants from all over the world who came over that border, thinking the final skids to the American economy were greased to the U.S. southern border. Instead, though, President Donald Trump had the Mexicans erect a wall here of perhaps the most inhumane kind, bureaucracy. They've come to get their original registration document stamped as required twice every week to prove they're still here and complying with new Mexican requirements. Many have given up and gone home rather than face this slow kind of strangulation. But immigrants like these Central American women say they're going to put up with it through November 2020. Why that date? That's when they think President Donald Trump will lose the American election, and the way to the American economy will once again be open under the Democrats. Make no mistake, the so-called migrant crisis with its infamous mass caravans is over. By all accounts, Central Americans are being deported from Mexico, are forced to wait in Mexico, or choosing to stay home and not even try. This is a major Trump policy victory for two main reasons. His credible threat to impose massive tariffs on all Mexican imports forced Mexico to deploy 6,000 National Guard troops to block the roads north. So anyone south of them are effectively trapped behind the line. Secondly, Trump began deporting tens of thousands of Central Americans back into Mexico to await the outcomes of American asylum claims so they can't disappear inside America after they inevitably lose. This made untold tens of thousands of Central Americans Mexico's problem. To induce them to return home and make others choose not to come to Mexico, Mexico gave them all a Hobbesian choice: either be deported or apply for Mexican asylum, a long, torturous, and quite unanticipated wait. The way things worked before was that most migrants arriving over the Guatemala border headed straight for the launching pad of Tapachula City. Most of the action takes place over this river called the Suchiate, not far from where it empties into the Pacific. Once in Mexico, they would take buses, trucks, and planes north to the American border. But no more for most. They now have to register for permission to stay, long enough to apply for Mexican asylum. This alone can take weeks. This Cameroonian explained that Mexican National Guardsmen pulled him and others off a bus north of Tapachula. Mexican immigration put him in a detention center and told him he wouldn't be let out unless he agreed either to be deported or apply for Mexican asylum. Given how much money he spent to be smuggled this far, he chose to register and pursue asylum. Migrants apply for asylum at Mexico's overwhelmed office, the COMAR. That office, though, is swamped, and decisions can take at least 4 months and often even longer. Migrants who'd budgeted to reach America soon enough ran out of funds for this bureaucratic wait. Frustration usually gives way to home returns or determination to outlast Donald Trump's electoral defeat. This from a Haitian who has been blocked from advancing north for 2 months.
It's different. What you don't understand is the things is
COMAR is the organization here to block you. If they give you the residence for 5 years, you can't go to America. You already have a guess here. But if they don't give you this, they don't approve you. You got 1 year card.
COMAR's chief in Tapachula, Alma Delia Cruz, said the Mexican government isn't intentionally tormenting migrants with bureaucratic wait times. COMAR is just swamped.
En lo particular, lo primero que hice fue requerir recursos materiales para poder afrontar la atención. Nosotros tenemos un problema muy grave de recursos. Batallamos incluso por hojas blancas.
Even though her office added 50 asylum officers to the 30 it had last year and shortened processes, it can't keep up with the onslaught of 44,000 applications the new policies caused in just 2019. That's up from the usual 1,000 or 2,000 a year. Migrants are not allowed to leave the area while they wait for asylum. thus the twice-weekly check-ins at the detention center I witnessed. Some 40% of applications are abandoned, Delia Cruz told me, because no migrant ever expected they'd have to wait in Tapachula, facing returns by the National Guard at roadblocks. The presumption is that most went home not wanting to wait around jobs-tight Tapachula, or that maybe some tried to get themselves smuggled past the National Guard. All evidence points to a significant deterrence posed by the National Guard and Mexican immigration officers at roadblocks throughout Chiapas State. The roadblocks are effective, with random searches and roving setups. Mexican immigration has pulled thousands off buses, trucks, minivans, as I witnessed recently, and returned them to Tapachula to apply for asylum or face deportation. I witnessed the troops in action throughout the state, searching vehicles, moving from town to town, and patrolling. At this roadblock, I saw Mexican immigration fish two Guatemalans off a minibus. They'll be dropped off on the Guatemalan side of the nearest border crossing in a day or two. On the Pacific coast, the Mexican Navy has made it harder to do an in-run around the inland roadblocks. Migrant-filled vessels do attempt northward passage, but by all accounts in fewer and fewer numbers as the Mexican Navy interdicts them too.
This particular river in this small fishing village right on the coast of Chiapas is a place where much of this kind of traffic has happened, according to federal police. What happens typically is that migrants will find a way to get on these boats and then go onto the ocean, which is at the very end of this river right here, and then find their way north around the checkpoints and land on many miles of beach that are just vacant and unpatrolled. What we're told is that in this particular village about 2 months ago, the Mexican Navy established an outpost just on the other side of this river and began patrolling it because they understood what was happening. Just north of here, there was a tragedy where African migrants capsized in their panga boat, just like this, and washed up ashore dead. Again, just a testament to the determination with which migrants are wanting to get to the United States border.
About 60% of asylum requests are approved after months of waiting, after which migrants are free to travel anywhere in Mexico. The pressure to return home is intense and gets more difficult by the day. That's because jobs are scarce around Tapachula, and so is money, either to live on or to return home, especially for migrants from other continents, like the 60 Yemenis applied for asylum last year. Dilapidated hotels are filled to capacity with the waiting masses. Others sleep on the street. For those able to endure long enough to get their asylum status, there's a plan. One is to get to other Mexican cities where they can find work until Trump is no longer in office. Many told me they'll stay in Mexico but never stop looking for an eventual break to the U.S. border defense. The United Nations has started helping out by busing migrants to northern cities, about 5,000 of them so far, to cities where there is work, according to the UN's Pierre-Marc René in Tapachula. Whether the floodwaters are held back all depends on whether Mexico stays the course, especially if its troops are ever returned to the barracks.
In this area, there are many, many hotels, flop houses, people staying in the streets, migrants from all over the world, people from Africa, Haiti, Iran, Somalia, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, Pakistan. They're all right here, and often they spend the evening in this park, walking around, waiting around, trying to figure out a way to proceed north. At this point, they can't really proceed north. They're here, many of them have been here for months, and they'll probably stay here for many more months. But ultimately, what they're waiting for is a break in
Donald Trump's defenses. And the second that there's a weakening of those defenses, they tell me they're going north. I'm Todd Bensman with the Center for Immigration Studies.
So as usual, Bensman did a great job. I really encourage you to read his writing and to subscribe to his email chain, because he'll send you some really good information about the border. We've had him on the podcast several times, and we'll do so more in the future. But for now, that's all I've got for today's Hot Zone. Thanks for watching. I'm Chuck Holton.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.